The Boiled Sports Basketball Beat is sponsored by Martin Vintage. Visit martinvintage.com for a great selection of classic Purdue t-shirts. Enter BOILED at checkout for 20% off your entire order. Martin Vintage.
Record of being there. That is a tall pour. That's a 4 feet.
It's the angle of the camera. It is actually a little
heavy. The angle of the camera. Is there any ice in that glass?
There's no ice in that glass.
That is what you are putting away on a Sunday night.
Hold on. If you're going to do that, I'm going to get one.
Oh, man.
What does a Sunday night have to do with it?
Isn't tomorrow a work day?
Well, yeah, but honestly, I haven't been hungover in a while. Welcome to the Purdue Basketball Beat. This is Michael. Yes, I record more than one podcast a year.
With me, yeah,
allegedly.
Boy.
Allegedly, I do appear on the podcast that I co-founded more than once a year. With me is Jay and Dowd. What's up, guys?
What's up, boys?
Hello.
It's a good weekend. It was almost a better weekend had Tennessee not destroyed Iowa in overtime.
I mean, there was that's the type of weekend. As Purdue fans, we had a great time. Saturday night was legendarily great. So much fun.
Wait, there was basketball this weekend? I was watching the Valspar Golf Championship.
I watched some racing and some golf. But this tournament has been like that. There's almost been some really, really big stories. But
there haven't been. But the amazing thing is there's not been – it's been entertaining, but there hasn't been one like a second – except that Duke finish today.
Yeah.
That was –
which was
so
kind
sad.
Of an air out of the so balloon sad. Sort of finish. Like when you have two putback attempts like that and they roll out of the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know about you guys. What's that?
I was just going to say that this tournament has had the fewest single possession victories in like 20 years. It's been crazy.
Oh, okay, so that's not – I'm not imagining things.
No. This has been – this is a weird year.
It's kind of funny too. A lot of chalk on the brackets, and I think most people thought this is wide open because the top 2 to 4 are really, really good and everybody else is pretty equal. But really what's happening, a lot of the things that the computer saw, which was Big Ten's really good, are true. Big Ten is really good. And that's what I kind of called Anish out on our sidebar conversation. He didn't even understand that I called him out.
So I didn't know.
Wrong. I was just like, the Big Ten is good, Anish. And he's like, you're dang. And I was like, dang it. I did that wrong.
It was 12 hours later too, I think.
Yeah. But this is the funny thing, right?
A bit distracted.
Didn't you think, like, I saw some things that, like, it was interesting. Like, the committee put Wofford in a position where they're making a mid-major have to beat a major conference team to get their first ever tournament victory.
Right.
They were expected to win. It's kind of there were all these things, and then they went to chalk, and you're like, dag nab, that's I was hoping for a little more fun.
But. Well, and Wofford had a decent chance against Kentucky.
Yeah,
and I feel like they got screwed from the refs on that one.
It was that wasn't a fun one. I really want to see them win a second game. That kid going 0-for-11 from 3 was really, really tough. Yeah. And that's when I started sifting through the embers to try to get these D-bags that are anti-Carson Edwards to come out of their holes. Because I said, McGee's playing horrible. Put him on the bench.
Well, the thing is you'll never get them to come back. I know I tweeted something about this a little bit ago.
I hope they muted us because I was sick of talking to them.
Well, no, like the people that like mention me on Twitter whenever Carson has a rough game are always they're not the ones that tweet me normally. Like there's a group of people that I have like ongoing conversations with. And it's never any of them. Mm-hmm. It's always new people that come out of the woodwork to trash Carson when he has a rough game.
Let's talk about this real quick. Let's give this 3 minutes, okay? And we can all talk about this. I know we've talked about this a lot, but for your ideal situation of how do you get Carson to come out of the funk when he's in it, right? Obviously, playing Villanova is a good way.
Shoot more.
Defending champs, yeah.
I mean, like, the guy was due. he's a good basketball player. He's obviously a dynamic scorer. And we never said that you can't say the guy is struggling or said you can't do anything. What we said is the people that just insinuate that you need to sit him down for a while, that sentiment, sit him down for a while, you can't do it.
Let's also, before you go any further with that, there's those people who I think genuinely, I don't want to say heart's in the right place, right? Sure. But they actually are saying like, okay, I think this would be a good thing to do. Then there are the people who say, oh, I wish he would do this more. Okay. And I can sort of like, okay, if you wish he played a little differently. All right. That's not an obnoxious criticism. That's just saying, I wish he would do this more. Okay. When he misses, of course, you'd rather he not miss. I have a problem with that. But then you've got the group of people who do nothing. There are people out there. This isn't like one. This is like people who actually insist Purdue would be better without him. Those words. And I finally responded to one guy who kept on it. I said, you know nothing about basketball if you actually believe this team would be better if he were not here.
Like, it's the difference between a defensible position that you can actually stay. Right. Well, maybe if you watch the game a little bit or he passed a little bit more.
Yep.
Like you can make that argument. But to say that Purdue would be better without their All-American guard, the guy that's scoring over 20 points a game, who had almost 20 points.
Look what a difference he made versus ODU. Because if you watch the way they were trying to stop him, they had an extra guy that would pop out over and over and over. So when a guy pops out, that means there's a chance somebody's open. And when that guy's open, a lot of times it's Harms. So Harms feasts, and he gets the highest of high percentage shots, right? Mm-hmm. So coaches are like, what do I do to stop that guy? And what do I do to get him out of rhythm? I know he's going to shoot still. He may catch fire. We've seen examples of it on film. But what can I do? So that idea in itself is something that is prevalent for Purdue. I don't think that any of the things that we had two people in particular that didn't, they had very indefensible positions on this. And they actually came back today. One of them came back and said, do you guys want to look like heroes or something like that? And another guy said, why don't we just call you cheerleaders instead of bloggers? And I wanted to say, yep, I'm really cheering for Carson Edwards.
Well, how dare you suggest I cheer for Purdue? Like, of all of the things to say about
it. But what worries me, though, and I don't normally worry about this because I think most of the players in D1 athletics are good at tuning stupid shit out. But can you imagine – I think I said it to you guys. Can you imagine working as hard as Carson clearly does, working that hard, caring that much? You saw him in the locker room after that game. This is not a guy who's, like, just here until he can get to the NBA. I know that's the stage he's at. But he cares. He likes being where he is, right? Can you imagine putting all that into it and then seeing – assholes talk about how you suck and you should be gone and I can't wait till you're gone. And you know, yes, he scored 26 points when no one else on Purdue had double digits against ODU, right? But he was 7 of 23. I said, if you look for something, you'll always be able to criticize something. And if you're going to perpetually find a thing to complain about, you'll be successful if that's what you're looking for.
Like, that's what you drive joy from, is picking apart Purdue basketball.
Right.
And finding the things about it that.
But all these people, they think it's crazy picking that apart. But these are Purdue fans, supposedly.
Right. That's the thing I don't get. I've said to people, I finally get to the point where I'm like, I don't think you actually like. I've said this about other sports that I like. I'm like, I don't think you're actually a fan of this team. And that's okay. That's all right.
But because Jeff, guess what? If you guys, I mean, you guys know this, I'm kind of negative at times when I've been like, like, but I still just, I want them to succeed so freaking badly. Like,
if you're burnt out on it and you're miserable and you're like, I've had enough of Purdue, that's okay. But go move run along. Just leave.
Right. Right.
That's all right. I wouldn't.
Well, I think it's more of a reflection of that person's general mental state.
Of course. Right?
Yeah. Like, if you're negative towards something that you supposedly like, maybe things aren't going so great for you. Like, I don't know. This is just part of a negative cycle for you, but this is supposed to be fun. And if it's not fun, you can walk away.
What the hell, right?
Disengage at some point. Like, I disengaged a little bit during the Hazel era of football. Sure. Like, I wasn't as emotionally invested in that.
Oh man.
But going after the players and saying ridiculous things about how Purdue would be better without Carson Edwards, you're just showing your ignorance.
Yeah.
He's been, and I will keep saying this, he's been a really good guy for the program too.
Yeah.
Right. So this is another thing. You're like, okay, pretend for a second that you're like, okay, I just can't stand the fact that he's a volume shooter and that's what takes him to get hot. I just can't stand looking at him. But you know, he seems like a decent guy, so I can, you know, I can at least enjoy watching. He seems to have fun. He plays hard all the time.
How about every interview?
He's great in interviews. He's great. He's not good, you know? And that the thing that you said though, that photo that Jiskie took.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a guy who was just, you could tell.
The joy.
Joy, exactly. Just kind of, I'm reminded of different iconic athletes that kind of had that moment where they just kind of had things lift from them.
Yeah.
And it seems to me he's going to probably average 40 points for the next three games.
But what if, I mean, that joy, that explosion, like there's two thoughts I keep having. Obviously, trying to wrap your head around even one more win and what the reaction will be like, let alone two.
Oh my gosh.
And the other thing that I just keep coming back to is are these guys, they seem so loose in a way I haven't seen them in a while. And I mean, not just, I actually had a good feeling, you know, I was like worried about Nova and Jay Wright and all that. Mm-hmm. The thing I felt good about though, was when you watch, and good job, kudos again to Purdue social media people, but those little interviews where they were letting the guys have the mic in the locker room, how loose does that group, they're funny. They're all laughing at the joke. Like everyone is getting the same jokes. And like, I think that kind of stuff is a great sign because they're they don't look tense. They're not doing what they've done in previous tournaments, right?
Yeah, so they do look different. Yeah.
So if you guys, I'm going to have you ask another hypothetical question. Pretend for a second you guys get to push the psychological buttons, do the storytelling for this team before Thursday's game. All right? What do you say to the team? What are the things that you would focus on as a guy who knows the team pretty well? You're obviously, pretend that Matt Painter calls you in to be the motivational speaker before.
He does often.
I know that. So what are you going to say this time? I guess I'm saying.
I mean, I think the message is simple at this point. You know, we've played 31 games, I think it's been, right? Maybe more. Like, you know who you are as a team. Like, you know what you can do. You know what your teammates can do. Go out and do what you know you can do, right? Mm-hmm. This is not the time to try to do anything different or try to do anything special. Like, this team has an identity in a way that many Purdue teams in the past have not had.
Yeah.
So live that identity, and then if they do that, like I wrote about this a little bit in the post game for last game. It's like they went out and played the game that they play. And if you do that and you lose, you played your game.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you got beat by a better team. But it's better to do that than to try to strategize your way out of like this tournament game by game.
Mm-hmm.
Good right. Take. I agree. And I think I would talk to them about like, you know, all right, you've gotten to the Sweet 16, which is you've already, I try to take the pressure off of like, you don't have to do anything else. So relax. Like you've had a good season. You've already exceeded expectations. And I don't mean that in the, oh, so now you can lay back. I think you can say, but you win one more game and now you are broaching legendary. You're bordering on legendary status right, as a team, a memorable team, right? Yeah. One win. Don't worry about two wins or three wins. One game, tonight's game. If you do something, you'll have done something Coach Painter's never done. Right. He's been close. And then you're one step away. That's all. I mean, I think to get that taste, and they have it, they have to have it. If you played that well as they did against Villanova, I mean, you have to be confident right now as a team. You've got to be everything worked right. I know there were some things Wheeler didn't play great. He still contributed. That's the thing. Even guys who didn't have great games still chipped in. Right. And that's like, you know, that had to be, to me, that had to be where Villanova's spirit was broken, right? Like, it wasn't just Carson. Klein was back to life. Wheeler hits a three. I think
Sasha hit one. Sasha had a three,
Harms was – the questions we got was – I would just like to say I think future opponents of Purdue should try the don't cover Harms at all.
I like that,
David. I think it'll eventually work. You should stick with it.
You just got to stick with it, yeah.
That was amazing.
I think you're right though. When it comes to approaching legendary, you remember the players, like the great players of Purdue past, but you also remember the teams and you remember them by year, right? 2000, right. 94, 1980.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Those are the teams, and 2019 could be added to that list. So even for those players on this team that aren't going to have their name remembered 20 years from now, mm-hmm. like Carson probably will, like that is the cementing their legacy, is moving on to that next level and adding that year to the list of years.
Well, I mean, there'd be some pretty poetic things if Painter could get past his ceiling and win on Thursday. I'm not at all expecting a Final Four. Win one more game. I mean, like you guys are saying, win one more game, and you'll see something that, like, you know, it was neat for Painter to kind of reestablish himself as a coach and get the program reestablished. Last year's senior class was so important to that idea, right? Because mm-hmm. he's like, okay, this is what my team should look like. Yeah. And now if you say, well, I can do this with a team of guys that are a transitional class, you know, but they all understand the ideas that I'm trying to teach, you'd mm-hmm. say, okay, we can do even more, right? And it'd be a coup on so many different levels. It'd be great for recruiting, it'd be great for just the narrative across the state of Indiana. I keep saying it's going to happen. That's the big thing. As a guy who did not, and I will admit this publicly right now, I did not pick Purdue to beat Villanova. But you know, it's like I am pulling so hard for this thing to happen, for something good, for the next step to continue to happen. And every time I think of it, I get so weirdly emotionally triggered when I start reading, seeing, hearing things of possibility, right? Mm-hmm. And so the possibility of a Final Four, when someone in the media mentions, look at Purdue now, they are very dangerous. And then I just start going, oh goodness.
Yes.
And it's like, I go into a little prayer and I just say, can I have this God at some point, please?
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I just was going to throw, and then I'll pivot to you, Michael, because this is just a quick point about, you know, we as Purdue fans, right, you expect the worst, or you feel like, man, it feels uphill for a team that's consistently good, or in this case, a 3 seed and higher seeds in the past, like, man, it shouldn't be this hard. Well, you know, you're not imagining things, because I'd kind of known this, but I never really thought about it till I saw it today. This is Painter's 5th Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. And you know how, like, for example, right now Virginia's got to go against the winner of a 12-13 game if they win theirs, right? Or if Oklahoma wins, Oklahoma gets a 12-13 winner. Purdue, under Matt Painter, has been to 5 Sweet 16s. The seeds they've faced.
And this is crazy. This is crazy.
1-1-1-3-2.
Yeah.
So once they lost to a lower seed, that was last year when they were a 2 and Texas Tech was a 3. Okay. You know,
that's a wash, right?
Right.
But 1-1-1-3-2, they've never even, you know, gotten a 7-10 that upset somebody and
right,
got in
right.
way. Like, it's just so, I mean, it's almost a counterpoint to some of the things we've said. Like,
yeah.
Like, if Matt Painter was losing to, you know, and there have been coaches out there that have, Tony Bennett, for example, has struggled a little in the tournament, right? Self has struggled in the tournament at times. He won a national title, so he gets the pass, but, right?
they lost as a 1 seed in the first and second.
Was the knock of that on them for a long time, was that he couldn't.
Arizona, too, yeah.
Right. And then maybe this is that same kind of thing where he breaks through eventually. I mean, it's not completely unreasonable. But go.
I think that's fair, and I think that plays into sort of the criticism of Painter, which is that he sort of plays at the level that you expect him to play, right? Mm-hmm. He coaches teams at the level. I will say that one thing that this year has shown me that's been different is this was supposed to be a transitional year. With a lot of Painter teams, it feels like a lot of building, and then there's one chance to do the thing, and then they don't do the thing, and then it's building. Right. And this was a year that was supposed to be starting that cycle over again, and they're right back to where they are. And they might be a better team this year in some ways than they were last year.
Well,
and
that offensively, what we saw last night is the best example. Like they gave us glimpses of this versus Ohio State this year, obviously. But what we saw last night is, like, you know, you saw 12 to 12 to 15 good minutes of that offensive efficiency that has scared teams to death, right? Where you're like, okay, the game's close or tight, and then all of a sudden Purdue's up by 7 to 10, they need a timeout. What we saw last night was that thing just clicking on all cylinders. And one thing I loved about Jay Wright's comments after the game was him saying, Purdue's too good to press. And why are
that blows my mind. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
Well, they did make them pay almost every time.
That's the point. So look, why are they too good to press? Let's think about the teams that Purdue has had struggle to press. A young PJ Thompson struggled against the press, right? Ronnie Johnson struggled against the press.
Blue Jack, I think, early on.
Blue Jack, young Carson Edwards struggled against the press. Yeah. Vince Edwards struggled against press sometimes when he had to handle the ball. This team, though, so you're gonna try to get the ball into Nogel, who is very close to flawless with his decision-making.
Oh, yeah.
Carson Edwards can dribble around people, right? He's not going to go into the corner. He's gonna move, and he's got a body that he can take contact, right? So then the over the top play is almost always there, because if you're playing a trap and you're bringing an extra guy in, there's somebody open. And now I've got a 7'3" guy who can run like a deer, which the old 7-footers, they couldn't run like him. Yeah. So that's a pretty tough thing. And to hear a guy like Wright who says, okay, we always have a press ready for teams, which they do. They've thrown it at Purdue before. They did it at Mackey, and Purdue struggled against it. And Purdue didn't even see it as a speed bump. That was a fantastic sign of progress as a program.
Well, they have so many people that can handle the ball, right? Mm-hmm. Like Carson can bring the ball up. Klein can bring the ball up. Nogel can bring the ball up. And like you were saying, the thing that's different about this team is that they don't collectively make a lot of mistakes. There's not a guy in the starting lineup who you're like, put them in a pressure situation because they're going to mess up. Yeah. They're rock solid.
Yeah.
And the complementary pieces all sort of fit together really well. Like Nogel is not going to, you know, bomb from three, but he can attack the basket. He can post up, right? Which is really awesome.
Well, there was a great – did you notice there were a couple possessions where Harms would come up and he shot a three from one, and Eastern was down in the block blocking out. I'm like, wow, that it turns everything on its head, and he's so good down there in the blocking out position. He's so strong.
Yeah.
He's so big, and you're like, nobody's getting a rebound.
If they dump it into him and he faces up, that gives an opportunity for Harms to cut across or to pop out to the free throw line. And then, I mean, it just opens up space without being a guy that needs to get 12 points a game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really, when this team is clicking, they are impossible to handle straight up. And that is an exciting place to be. Another point that I'll make is the Purdue stars of recent memory have all been bigs, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to beat the heck out of you on the block, and we're going to protect the rim and so on and so forth. You have Carson Edwards, who might be, he's in the conversation with like Jay Morant as one of the most electric guards in the nation, a very non-Purdue guard who can go out and just get buckets. And that's not something that they've had before. And it completely changes the dynamic of the team.
42 points.
Like 42 points.
Has that even sunk? I was looking at some of the – when they were comparing it to other – first 40-point games since Jerry McNamara, I think they said, right?
24?
Yeah, Syracuse, right? Yeah. Another guy who was just bombing threes. It's the 9 threes that sticks with me, though.
Yeah.
Like 9 threes. That's 27 points off of three.
And when you watch the highlights, those are – deep threes.
Oh, God. Well, I messaged you guys. He hit two, right? And I said, it was a heat check. And he did it. He did, like, and he didn't just heat check. He did it from on the S on March Madness. Like the other day, he did it against Old Dominion from the bracket on the
left. No, not just the bracket, like the second round bracket.
He did it from the S. He did it from the word Madness. Like, when you look at the overhead of how far that is away from anything, like, I love it.
How could you not? Because it's all balls, right? It's just like, I'm good enough to hit this shot, and you can't stop me, and I'm just going to take this shot, and I'm going to probably make it. And there's nothing that you can do to prevent me from scoring these 3 points.
That's what bugs me, is that people hate that. And I'm like,
I love it.
There was one guy who kept saying to me, I wish he wouldn't take shots like that early in the shot clock. I said, if he waited till the end of the shot clock to do that, then teams might know. They might figure that out, right? Yeah. And then, you know, like, it's not always a bad shot to do that.
It's not a bad shot if you got who have guys that are in
rebounders.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a rebounder or two close, you're good. The problem that I think that I have it, you know, like is when it's early in the shot clock, there's nobody there. Harms has not started, you know, crashing to the basket.
Right.
That's sure. A bit of a problem because that one is a long rebound and it plays fast, right? So now you got to get on your back pedal.
But I also don't think it's as often as people would make it seem. I don't.
No, it's a couple times a game. Right. It's right. Not a big deal. The thing is you have to understand Purdue's identity this year, which is Carson is going to win or lose these games, right? And when you have a guy that is that guy, you ride or die with that guy.
Yeah. Of course.
Right? Yeah. You either trust him to score 42 points and beat the crap out of the defending champs, or you don't. And part of trusting him is being like, you do you, right? You do you, and we will do our best to cover up any mistakes that you make.
So has this team, I mean, it's tough to say they haven't, but has this team played their best game?
I think that Villanova game, I mean, the Ohio State senior night game was amazing, but that felt like it was partly senior night, and it felt like Ohio State almost was.
They didn't have Wesson either, right?
Yeah, they were almost like, you know what, like, just have it. And Villanova was not, those guys were, I forget which guy it was now. He was literally in tears, and he said at the press conference at Nova, he was, and I don't blame him. He won two national titles there. He's like, I said, I'm not going to be in a Villanova uniform anymore. Like those. So my point there is those guys cared. There was no like, and they weren't even rolling over down 30. I don't know if you know that noticed that, but they were playing hard. Yeah. They were trying. Their bench was up encouraging them down 25, 30 points with like 4 minutes to go, whatever the hell it was. And I give a lot of credit to Jay Wright and that team, that whole team, those guys, that's champion stuff, right? When you don't ever fold, you don't ever throw in the towel, and then you're upset at the end. So my point is that team did not give Purdue anything. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that has to be their best game of the year. And if your question is, could they play a better game? I hope this doesn't come out negative. I don't see how they could, frankly, where everything goes that well. Right. I don't know.
It was pretty perfect. Yeah.
So what does it take to beat Tennessee? I think their defense has been the kind of unsung hero there. Yeah, those two first halves set such a tone, right? Neither team scored more. Was it Villanova had 24,
I think?
Yeah. Because Edwards had 25 at the half.
And Villanova had 24 with like 14 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I remember, by the way, just a quick aside on that, I was replaying some of the thoughts that we all were having that night, even up 30, right? Because we all know, we were even joking on our, that's something from the group that we should share. We were all talking about when we would be comfortable. I asked you guys at half, I said, are you comfortable? No one was, of course.
Right.
And Dave said, ask me at the under 16. And Michael, you said, ask me at the under 8. And even up 30, people on Twitter were like, I don't know, I've seen this before. I'm thinking to myself, they're up 30 or more. Villanova only has 24 points total at that point. And we're still like, well, this was not.
You wait for the other shoe to drop. But I think.
Here's the thing, guys. There's something to think about. Purdue played this way three or four times this year where they just blew a team out of the water. It was at Penn State or Rutgers where they were up by 40 points or 35 points. They did this to Ohio State. They did these guys. And they did it once in pre-con where you're like, okay, that's nobody. But the fact that they had two conference games. In a strong conference where they were up by 30 points.
Tournament, one of them.
Yes, exactly. That's noteworthy. That's something that when we look back on this team, regardless of how they end, you'll say, gosh, that team could just, they were just so flammable. And that's all comes back to their leader. I think these matchups versus Tennessee are ridiculously tough. I think you've got so many big, strong, athletic guys on Tennessee. This is tough stuff for this Purdue team, because this has been when Purdue has looked bad this year, it's been against, you know, athletic bigs. Well, Tennessee's got big, strong guys, and then they've got guards that have NBA bodies and just they're nasty. That's a mean team, you know? So the question is, can Rick Barnes poop himself during a timeout and destroy this beautiful thing he's helped create? Because if that's really what I'm banking on.
He tried today.
He did. He sure did. They were up by how much?
25.
25.
That's, yeah. By the way, someone put it on Twitter that someone said something along the lines of, if you're thinking you've never seen this before, it's because you have not. Nobody in the tournament has come back from down 25. Now, I don't know if the stat was has never come back to win. I think it was has never come back from down 25 in the tournament. But Iowa got it all the way back to tied, and then was out of gas. And that's what happens, right? If you whittle down a lead like that to nothing, you're usually out of gas by the time you get there.
And so it takes so much to get over that last little bit. The problem with Tennessee is that they have a bunch of guys that are in that 6'4 to 6'8 range mm-hmm. who are crazy athletic, who can do a whole lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
They don't have someone who can match. I mean, they have a couple 6'11 dudes, but they don't quite have the Matt Harms type. They don't quite have the Carson Edwards type, but that like NBA 3 style player,
yeah,
they have in spades. And that's a problematic for this Purdue team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who worries you most on that Tennessee team?
I mean, Admiral Schofield. I know he's not leading the team in points or anything, but he's the guy. He's terrifying. Yeah. Right? He's going to be a pro.
Did you see the thing floating around that he asked to not be in the game late? Did you see that floating around on Twitter today? That Barnes in his post game, not on Twitter. I saw it on Twitter, but Barnes said he asked to not. He said no, leave whoever in the game. Keep me out. He actually said that to Barnes, and people were like,
"I was trying to figure out. I thought he had fouled out because they kept showing him, and I'm like, why isn't he in?
Was his replacement like playing really well?
Yeah,
like I could see that, but
yeah, but still,
but he's an All-American, right? Or at least an All-American honorable mention guy, isn't he? I mean,
yeah, he's in the conversation.
Yeah. So the one thing you know that I think Painter has when they play Tennessee is they say, "Hey guys, we're a different team. We were incomplete. Obviously, we had some different parts, but we've played this Tennessee team before.
Yes."
You guys can do this. You can go toe-to-toe. They've been in the top three all year, but you can play with this team. You have played with this team, and you can finish the job now, right? That, to me, is that's a really good thing that, you know, unlike, you know, like Jay and I don't know if – I would think Purdue players have some intimidation about the Duke team just because of the ESPN brainwashing that's happened in the last 3 weeks. But Tennessee is an intimidatingly good team, but you're like, it's okay. You guys can go against these guys.
So Tennessee was my pick to win it all. And that was a little bit of a stretch for me. But they have talent, but they're a hot and cold team. I think that there's nothing that Purdue should look at with that team that says we can't match this.
Right.
But it's going to be a step up in competition from Villanova.
Yeah. I did you guys look at the way the committee did that bracket, by the way? So you've got Barnes, he's gotten a Final Four, but he had Kevin Durant on the team. But a lot of people say Barnes, not a good tournament coach. Painter, not a good tournament coach. Bennett, not a good tournament coach. And one of you three, if you just do what you're supposed to, one of you three gets to the Final Four. Yep. And I mean, it sure feels like they did that on purpose.
When you put it that way, it's not an easy path. But again, there's no North Carolina. There's no Duke.
They're in Louisville. That's the funny thing. Getting over Villanova was such a big deal for me mentally because I'm like, Villanova in a hostile environment, that's a tough thing, right? And now you've got Louisville there. I'm going to be there, so that's worth at least a couple decibels.
At least a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, people can hear you from pretty far away. The KFC Yum Center is going to go crazy.
Going to be rattling.
I think, you know, it's interesting, like that part of the bracket might go chalk. But it doesn't necessarily have to because there's a lot of vulnerable teams there. There's not a run. Like, even like, who does Virginia like really scare? I mean, you can beat that Virginia team in a way that you can't. Like Duke, I know they almost lost tonight, but Duke is still a pretty intimidating foe no matter who you are. Mm. Virginia, you got a puncher's chance with them.
Virginia's not going to score 80 points. They're not going to score 70 points.
No, but you're going to hate yourself as you grind your way to a 63-point total, right? So,
here's another. I had an interesting thought observation. I have thought all season because of these three. Well, they all played each other, didn't they? Virginia Tech, Florida State, Purdue,
right?
All have been extremely similar in the computer rankings for much of the season. They played head to head. They played close, right?
They're all in the Sweet 16.
And they're all in the Sweet 16. It's like the computers knew, the humans knew these teams are what they are, right? These are top 15 teams. Now, the question is, can somebody get somebody on the wrong night? The problem is they all play really, really tough games this round.
Oh, so, gosh. Yes.
It's a.
I think Florida State has a puncher's chance Gonzaga.
I do too. But Gonzaga, though, they're an interesting team because they've got some NBA guys on that team. Did you guys see the Florida State post game comments about the guy who talked about his teammate's dad who had passed away.
Oh, no, yeah.
Story, but
he didn't like find out until right after the game, right?
Yeah, but it was so what he did, he said, because his name's Terrence something, but he had a great game, and he said before, they said, what'd you do to get motivated? You played one of your best games of your career. And he said, I went on YouTube and watched videos of his teammate's dad, because he was a professional something, football, basketball player. And he said, and he was a fighter. And I just watched him for about an hour. And I said, I need to play that way. And then this player just put his head down, was reduced to tears. Yeah. And I've seen this a couple times where these guys, that this is the thing I probably love about the NCAA tournament more than anything, is the humanness of these people. You know, like watching these players, like you said, you know, Nova selling out, these guys saying, I'm never going to get to wear a Nova uniform again. That's hard to watch. It's hard to see. Watching Central Florida today lose a heartbreaker. That stuff is so, so difficult, but so good at the same time.
And what makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
Right. Because you see glimpses of, especially in the tournament where you get exposure on a national level to teams that you don't typically see week in and week out. And you see these teams play together and the camaraderie that exists within these teams. And it really brings like that added element of like, these are people, like young adults, like doing their most high profile thing that they will do probably
ever. Oh yeah.
And it kind of like comes to an end. Like you brought up Jerry McNamara earlier, or one of you did. And like, what is he doing now? Right. Like he's not in the pros. He's maybe playing in Europe or something like that. But like for that month, he was like a spotlight was shown on him
and
his teammates and his coach. And it's really, that's what makes it. That's why everyone likes the one shining moment piece, right?
Yep. So, do you, Jay? Do you have the questions in the barrel? Are you? Do you want to go there, or do you want to?
Yeah, no. I think we should. I think I'm always mixed when we ask people for questions, because there's always some good ones, but then there's always.
You don't have to read all of them, and if you don't get your question read, then that's because you failed us. So just keep that in mind. If we don't read your question, it's because you did a horrible job, and you need to improve.
Yeah, no Tumblr for you. No Boiled Sports Tumblr for you.
Right. So I'm going to start here with our old friend who's a dentist now. He just has Doc on here. Maybe he's trying to not use his name. Wisdom Tooth is now his.
He's out of Louisville.
Right? Yeah, but I'm not gonna. I don't know if Dr. Wattis. Oh, sorry, I did it. He says, which lineup would have a better chance to beat Tennessee? 5 Carson-sized Harms or 5 Harm-sized Carsons?
5 Harm-sized Carsons.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
That would be 7-3 guys that could rain threes, like, and you'd never get a
hit. You'd never be a hit in anybody's face, right?
Imagine the skying dunks you'd see from him.
What if you had a guy that was Harm size but shot with Klein's weird delivery? Can you imagine there'd never be any chance of getting rid of it, right?
You pretty much described like Dirk Nowitzki's career.
Yeah. I mean, that release point being above the head, good night. There's nothing to do.
And falling away. You pointed it out last time we did one of these. I couldn't figure out what it was. If you haven't seen Klein shoot ever or in a while, it looks like every time he shoots, like, oh, was he? Did he trip? Is he falling backwards? Did
exactly.
He must have been fouled.
He's going to end up on his shoulder blade.
He can really nail it for being off balance all the time.
Right. So let's see here. Matt, Trip Truman says, with Purdue's campus being an hour closer than any other team in the Louisville region, is it? Although I don't, Tennessee's got to be pretty close, right? He says, is it crazy to expect 10,000 screaming boilers in the Yum Center this weekend? And he hashtags it, that's Purdue podcast, which obviously. 10,000 screaming fans? I don't know.
It's what, a 20,000 seat arena? Is that?
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I mean, Dowd counts for like at least 100, right?
Exactly. So if you're upping me, then you're going to get close to that. I would say Purdue's going to have 5 to 8. That are like real Purdue people. I think that's a
pretty darn good.
That'd be great.
Let's see. The Boiler in France, who always checks in with us, says, and we talked a little bit about this, but we should answer this one specifically. How did the Nova defense keep losing a 7'3" flying Dutchman asking for a very well dressed coach?
Jay Wright does dress quite well. I compared him to the love interest in a Lifetime movie earlier this week, and a nice
thing. His hair is always perfect, and
he wears like the nice clothes, and he's got like the face that's very like handsome, but not like aggressively
so. Rugged and handsome. Yeah. So the thing that was amazing about that is obviously they knew they did not have a size advantage, right? So they were going to have to. You don't have to be a coaching expert to know they were going to have to double Harms or pay special attention to him. Once Purdue and Carson started raining threes, you had to cheat out at Carson. But that does not mean you don't
guard Harms.
The crazy thing was like he had what, five dunks at least where he could have put his arms out and not touched anybody.
I a lot of those came from one player on Nova, and I forget his number, but there were a couple guys that just got lost on the switches and just lost their man, didn't know their assignment.
For a Jay Wright team, a 2 out of 3 national champ, to have guys not having defensive assignments figured out.
But like Nova was so discombobulated all of those threes that they were out of their element. Yeah. They needed like 2 half times to get their stuff together.
They needed 2 half times. Okay. Always the Muggo. Always read the Muggo. I don't know. We're getting some new people chiming in. He said, it's October 18th, 2018. You are sitting on your couch when your future self appears in your living room out of nowhere. He/you tells you that this team is going to at least make it to the Sweet 16 in March of 2019. What's your reaction? And don't you dare ignore the time travel part. Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna really be literal here about the time travel part, I'd be like, "That's what you're coming to tell me?"
Right. Exactly. Also, why are you so fat?
Exactly.
Right. I thought you were going to
be a lot of weight.
I thought you were going to be thin.
We were serious this time. We got a Bowflex.
So to the question, though, I actually think we all talked about a Sweet 16 being – I don't think anybody was like, oh, this is a sure thing. But I think we all kind of said the ceiling was a Sweet 16 for this team, right? I mean, I don't
– I think I would be more surprised by the Big Ten championship than the
Sweet 16. Yeah, agree. None of us said that was going to happen. But
isn't that funny, though? Think about what you just said. So we all would have been more surprised with a consistent – good season from a Matt Painter team.
Which is what Matt Painter teams do.
But it tells you, if anybody needs perspective, because I sometimes do about Painter, right? That's a huge move forward. They've taken the next step as a program in March to consistently be a Sweet 16 team is something very, very noteworthy.
It is. The other teams that are in that range of consistent consecutive Sweet 16s mm-hmm. are teams that win national titles. Purdue mm-hmm. is the black swan of that group.
So I have one that from Brad Ebon that this is one of those that I got to read it because I'm glad he put the thought into the question, but I don't think it's an either or. I don't think there's any debate here at all. He says, would you rather Carson comes back next year, but we lose to Tennessee, or Carson leaves and we make the Final Four? Or do we have to win it all for you to take that trade-off? Hell Final no, four. Give me the Final Four.
I've already said my goodbyes to Carson. I don't know about you guys. I've been like, all right, it's okay. It's been great. Yeah. Our relationship.
Yeah, he hasn't written me back yet, but yeah.
That's weird because you guys were really close too. I mean, that's,
I mean,
maybe you like help him pick out clothing and stuff. I mean, that was mostly shoes.
Those tan sneakers, that was your
idea.
It's fine. Yeah. You get big, you lose your friends. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever. I'll be here. I'm going to go next step. Okay. If they go to the Final Four, Harm's going to go pro too because he's done some pretty amazing.
Don't do that to us. No, that I don't want.
No, you don't want it, but can you see? Here's the thing that I remember that Michigan team that went to the final and they won it because Louisville actually wasn't playing in it, is what the NCAA, mm-hmm. you know,
expungement. Never happened.
Never happened. So, but that team, you remember they took 1 or 2 pros and made it into 4 pros during their run, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I would take that.
I would gladly take that idea that a team just catapults into the Final
Four. I'll take anything for a Final Four. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would take Purdue not participating next year.
Yeah. Right.
Let's pretend Sasha gets hot. You're like, yep, he's going pro too. You're like, okay, you know, I would have loved to have seen what he became. But
Wait, before we get theory on this one, has Carson, I was having this thought, has he sort of played his draft stock back up now? Because
I don't know if it changed.
Oh, it changed.
I don't know.
After that month and a half of.
I think I think if he had finished the year sort of on that slump, that question would have kind of been there. But I think him playing these last three games the way that he has been like, okay, this is just who he is. It's fine. I don't think his draft stock is going to appreciably change anytime between now or next year. Like he kind of is who he is. You have a good sense of what type of player he is. It's time for him to go after the season.
You guys know that I don't understand the NBA. I don't understand the idea of not
completely drafting different a guy. Game.
Yeah. But not drafting a guy who, you know, is good and has a lot of skills and has all this good stuff going for him and saying, we're going to pass over him for this guy we've seen play on videos, you know, who comes from, you know, Bosnia or whatever. You're like, okay, that
the potential. Hey, those are tough chairs. Those
exactly. Chairs that guy's really good at dribbling against chairs. So, but you know, the potential thing is such a big deal when you're taking NBA picks. And I can't say anything either way about Carson Edwards. If he wants to go, I can't blame the guy. He's going to get guaranteed money someplace. If he ends up in Europe, he's going to be a rich guy. If he ends up NBA G, he's going to have some guaranteed money in his pocket. Even if he's riding around in a bus in Fort Wayne, he's still going to do just fine. And that's one of the things, you know, he wants to help his family. What a great motivator for someone to go and make a living. Good on him. You know?
And even if he's second round, the NBA treats second rounders a lot different than they used to 10 years ago.
Right.
Like he's going to make a roster. He's going to make millions of dollars. There's no way anyone who says that he should come back for another year, I think for the most part, 90% of those people say that for selfish reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, if you had a chance to make a couple million dollars, I mean, you take it. You take it.
Yeah.
Of course. Similar.
Shout out to Greg Doyle, by the way. And his opinions on who should enter the draft.
Yes. Yeah.
well, you know what? He turns out a lot of good stuff. So he turns out a lot of stuff.
I mean, that's a hard thing to do to say, all right, I gotta write gold every day. He wrote one recently in the last 2-3 days where I was like, it was okay.
No, he's pretty good.
He's a good writer.
About once a quarter, he has like a steaming turd that he should have just flushed.
He needs an editor.
But he's pretty.
He's the Carson Edwards of the Indy Star, right? He's got the green light. Do whatever you want.
We're going to high volume. Definitely high volume.
When you're hot, you're going to get national attention.
I do like Greg. I do like him. He's a good dude.
On the Carson thread, this is a good question. I like this from Evan Webb. He says, "Where does Carson's performance against Nova rank in your all-time favorite single game performances by a Purdue player?" And he says single game performances by a Purdue player. So it doesn't sound like he's limiting it to just basketball, but go ahead. What's your,
it has to be the tournament though, right?
Like, no, I don't know. He says your single game performance. I'm thinking he means any sport. No,
really? Any sport?
He says the wording is, where does it rank in your all-time favorite single game performances by a Purdue player? So you can take it however you want.
I'm gonna say basketball because it's ridiculous to try to cross over that. I mean, because there are so many good field hockey teams that
players. The cross country team has had some amazing individual performances.
Yeah, exactly. But we're not even gonna go over there. So
I say that as someone who has attended Purdue cross country events. So just in case,
just putting it out there.
He's not being sarcastic.
Yeah. To me, it's my second favorite Purdue basketball performance.
Wow, already number two behind Glenn Robinson.
Glenn Robinson versus Kansas. I just that game. I was 19 years old. I was at Purdue, living in Cary Quad.
Full of hair.
I had beautiful hair, and I cut it all off that night.
Real trim.
Yeah. Dude. I was
no gray.
120 pounds. Blondish brown hair.
So if you were 19, I was like, what, -2?
Yeah, exactly. You were still a gleam in your daddy's eye.
You know, I remember that. The thing that made that so special was the Greg Ostertag.
Yes, the handshake.
Kansas team. Well, the handshake was great, but this was a Kansas team that was like, these guys are for real, right?
Yes.
Like, they should be in the NBA.
That's why. Yeah, I was
and
watching.
He dominated that game.
And Konzo played fantastic. And the yeah, I just got a text from a good friend of mine. He and I were watching that game. We ended up going down to Knoxville together. It was we're both bald now, not by choice. Back then, we both shaved. We shaved our heads. A group of five of us all shaved our heads after that game for sport. And we painted our heads to go.
How foolish you were.
No kidding. I mean, I should have just let it ride for the next 15 years.
You know, I've got, you know, the that game was – you know my story about that game, right?
Isn't that one of the like turned you or something? You
were on Purdue's campus for my visit. I was in high school and I came out to Purdue to see Purdue. I was on campus the night they beat them in these.
That must have been fun listening to people go crazy, right?
Yes. And then I did my tour the next day and they were like overturned, you know, like garbage cans. And they're like, yeah, we actually had a really good night last night. Mm-hmm. And this is before people burned down the campus for things. Although I suppose if they'd won one more game, then.
Somebody lit something on fire in the Kerry court that night. Somebody lit something on fire.
I was 10 when that game was played. And when you're in that 10 to 15 range,
impressionable.
Like it's just magical because you just can't imagine someone doing that. That's just always stuck with me.
I feel that way at 43.
Absolutely. I'm there right now. What you just described.
It's magical. Last night was, that was the most.
But I was not as cynical as I am right now.
Yes. Right. True. You weren't waiting for the bottom to drop out. You were like, this is amazing. Right. Purdue's going to win every game ever.
Right.
Whatever.
They're going to win every national title. So that's a pretty good place to be, the second best game in your Purdue memory as a bunch of old guys.
If you had that game one game deeper, it would have been even harder for you to say it's number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like part of the big dog game was because they were going to the Elite Eight. Right? That was a big part of that win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Carson has two more of those, they will jump to number one.
Exactly. That's it.
John Ensley, or Joe Ensley, sorry, Joe, says, is anyone else going to buy some? He says, Cinnamon Toast Crunch Kyrie's. If Carson leads Promised Land,
I'm not a big fan of the Kyrie, and I could tell you why, but it's really dorky, so I'm not going to go that far. As a shoe designer, there's some things that I dislike about that shoe. I'm more of a fan of the Why Not 02, the shoe Westbrook's wearing. I keep trying to get them in a specific color. I bought them on eBay; they were knockoffs. I sent them back, so the Kyries aren't my style. That's all. So I know they're
for knockoffs,
huh?
Those were not.
I bought three pairs of these and I still don't have. So the first pair I bought, the ones you saw, Jay, those were from Nike.com. It was too much camo on the pair I got. And then I got a pair of the ones that came out before that, the All-Star Break. No, before the All-Star Break, they were blue, red, yellow, black. And those were knockoffs. I sent them back to the guy. Then I got a pair of the white and green ones. And they actually didn't fit me because I went up a half size because I couldn't find my 7.5 because I have baby feet. You know what they say about 7.5 shoes?
Yeah. 7.5 inch.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That is what they say. That's what I say, actually. I always plead with my wife. That's what they say. But anyway.
Not so good at that eye measurement.
Exactly. Like, look at this room. It's a 75 by 30 foot room.
It's not my fault. You're not so good at eyeballing.
Yeah, that's your bad. Dang it, woman.
Gosh. So. All right.
But no,
my wife is lovely, by the way.
Yeah, she's
take her side in everything.
She's better than me, and you should.
Andy Mosh. I'm going to move us along here. Andy Moshberger. No, that's fine. He has a couple good ones. He's one's going to make you mad, but that's why I'm going to ask it.
Good.
In a fun way. One is a good one. He says, now that Jay Wright has been eliminated, which remaining coach is the best dresser?
It's not Matt Painter. It's not
Buzz Williams. Painter. Buzz Williams. Don't judge him because he's a little pudgy and he's bald and he looks like me. He's a great dresser.
He's a good dresser.
I think the answer is Roy Williams. He's got some snappy
suit. It's Buzz. Buzz always wears a vest, bro. He's got that
blue suit thing going.
Exactly. It's fine. Like a seersucker.
It's fine, but like actually, I will go with Buzz Williams.
Excellent choice, Michael.
Look at you guys. You guys have answers. See, that's one of the things I like about this is no matter how inane the questions.
Right. The other thing, Buzz Williams got the contrast collar and cuffs. He's got white collar and cuffs. That's pretty. It's pretty classy.
That's
he knows what he's doing. He makes purposeful fashion decisions.
He does,
and that puts him ahead of 95% of college coaches.
Yep. You gotta love
definitely
that.
Ahead of Painter. Who
looks what? Like
he's borrowing a suit from a much larger.
Oh no, he's improved.
I loved the Painter of a couple of years ago where he was still rocking like the super thick pinstripes.
Oh yeah, it was great.
I was like, yeah, this hasn't been good since like, you know, Wall Street. The slicked back hair.
I think that's fair. I guess
he's better.
He's also do we dare, speaking of that, do we dare mention the
Fat Painter?
Okay, good. Okay, yeah.
No, I don't think we have, but I will.
You let the cat out of the bag?
I fully support the fatter Painter is, the better he is as a coach.
It seems like it this year. And that's the thing.
He's not that bad this year, is he?
Oh.
No, he's just a little, like, there's a little extra left there.
Yeah, exactly. I got a picture from pre-con that tells a different story than just a little extra love. But
yeah, there might be love.
But I love the dude as he is. He seems like he's happy and exactly. He is very comfortable in his own skin. And that's
usually like you can't support other fan bases' insults of your team or coach. But when other fan bases call Painter pork chop, like I just lose it. Like I just think that's the best insult ever.
Yeah.
Well, there was a quote. I read a thing about, I think it wasn't that long ago. Oh, because Blue Chips was recently 25 years old, and he was on one of the teams.
The part, Blue Chip. The big part.
But the quote, when they interviewed him, you know what he brought up? He brought up the food spread.
Yeah. It's not a great sign.
That's what he heard. This is a food.
As a fat dude. Let me just say that, like when you're fat, you think about food a lot.
It's what I remember from every event I go to is how was the food? I mean, I'm sure you guys are no different. It's,
I hate meetings because the corporate meetings, when you come to them and they didn't bring snacks or coffee or the table. Yeah. Like what are you doing? The fuck you did the plan in here?
Yeah.
I have to sit for more than an hour and I don't get a snack. What am I?
And then it's like, why is Michael so negative today?
Yeah. Shut up. I haven't gotten a snack because I wanted a bagel.
What are we talking about again? Yeah, I'm having ice cream after this, by the way. So
doctors always say end your night with a big bowl of ice
cream. A pint of chocolate chip ice cream.
Attaboy. Well, here's what whenever I exercise in a Martin Vintage t-shirt and no pants.
That's because they don't make pants yet. But when they do,
right? But I'm short, so it's a longer shirt tail, and it covers everything you need.
That's called Donald ducking it.
Exactly. Way. Yeah, it looks really good.
Why does he put a towel around his waist if he doesn't wear pants?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Because the feathers are matted down, you might see a little Donald.
It's like walking out of a swimming pool.
I'm gonna apologize. I have two people I'm thinking about as we're going through this nonsense. My brother and one of my son's friends right now. If they're listening, I apologize to you guys specifically. What? You two.
If they're listening,
Jared and Bill. I'm sorry. And they're both listening. I guarantee.
And you have to apologize for nonsense. What do they want? A great podcast.
Oh, you want to hear some opinion about Purdue sports? Whatever.
I refer back to that. That review of our podcast, of our website,
the one you wrote,
that I think is tagged. Yeah. I did not write that one, but I wish I did.
I like how you guys love the reviews that paint you two in a great light.
Yeah,
we do.
There's thousands of reviews. I can't even pick one out that isn't, you know.
We have a 5-star rating.
Yes, that's awesome.
There's 42 reviews, and we have a 5-star
rating. If you're listening on iTunes, go rate us a 5-star.
And this has completely run off the rails. Yeah. We have not talked about Purdue in 5 minutes.
I got a few good ones here. We got to get to them. So this will be a quick one that'll make Bill, your brother, mad, and you mad. That I was mentioning before. Andy Moschberger's other question was, what was your favorite random sports cliche from the C-Squad calling the Nova game? I enjoyed when she declared, low man wins after Carson's first 2-point drive. That isn't about basketball, is it?
they made me want to punch things.
Cross sports analogies. I do.
That one's in the strike zone.
I really hit a home run on that one. Really knocked that one out of the park.
John Faker, another regular friend of the show, sent us a number of questions. And I'm having trouble because I just read one that I hadn't seen. And it's never good when you have not read your script in advance. First one, I think the answer is going to be a quick no. Do any of you play video games? And if so, what kind?
Yes.
I got a Switch for my birthday. I'm not a big video game guy, but I got a Switch. It's awesome. I've been playing Hollow Knight for the last couple of weeks. My son and I have been playing that game, and it's awesome.
Hollow Knight.
That game, it's like $14.
The last time I played video games seriously, I had a PS2 years ago, and I stayed up till 2 playing Tiger Woods, and then I told my wife the story about how well I did, and I looked at her look as she was getting ready to go to the hospital as a nurse, and I'm a lazy jerk, and I literally sold the thing the next day. I'm like, I'm a piece of crap.
You know what? You made the right decision. First of all, no one wants to hear about how good you're doing.
Nobody video does. Games. Nobody
it's worse
does.
Than talking about your fantasy team.
Oh,
second of all, like just the context of your wife getting ready to go to a real job.
And I was like
impact.
I was just
she's a nurse saving lives.
I was in a pair of tube socks. And I That was it. Just socks. No pants. Exactly. You guys are hearing a recurring theme. And I had a bowl of honeycombs in my lap, and I was,
hey, you wouldn't believe what I did in Tiger Woods. I earned a new driver.
I like the second part to his question. Yeah, I'm going to ask that.
He says, if you were on a first date, oh, are you reading ahead? Are you reading ahead?
I'm not.
Someone has to be prepared.
I don't do that.
He says, if you were on a first date with a lady, now this is going back a long way for all of us.
Impossible for us.
If you were on a first date with a lady and had to mix, so if they all come to their senses, you say, if you were on a first date with a lady and you had to mix a drink from stuff you had in your fridge right now, what drink would you make?
Oh, I've got the full accoutrement right now, so I'm not.
In your fridge?
I've got the best answer for this.
Okay, go on.
Chocolate milk.
Do you like extra chocolate?
Clink, clink. Here's clink, the thing. Clink. Everybody likes chocolate milk.
Look how good a dad I'll be. I can make chocolate milk in a jiffy.
Well, what do you want me to say? Like the pickle juice from the jar? Like that's the other option. All right.
Old fashioned. I'm making old fashioned. And if you don't like it, you're not worth sticking around, lady. It's going to be delicious.
See you saying that to sumptuous.
Oh, yeah, I totally would say that.
You would totally be like, no.
If she's in my kitchen, then I probably have to marry her. That's happened one time. So, and I married her.
A woman in your kitchen? Yeah.
Yeah. One time. I mean, shoot, there's one person that would marry me, and that was it.
You found her. You found her.
I found her. Thank God.
Exactly. Yeah, no, same here. Yeah, this is it.
Yep.
John, I'm going to skip to one of his last ones because he has a bunch in here. He says, have you ever ate an insect on purpose? That's the one I laughed at earlier.
Yes.
No.
What is wrong with you? Why
not?
What do you mean, why not? Because it's a freaking insect.
Yeah. It's not going to kill you.
You don't know that. Exactly. It could, it's going down your throat, it's injecting you with poisons.
No, you don't eat a live poisonous insect.
I figure you like had a scorpion and you're in the desert and you're like, this might be over soon.
Oh, look, here's a wasp. Might as well eat it.
Exactly. Let's go for it.
How does that, you say that like that's ridiculous. And yet, 10 seconds ago, you were like, yeah, I had an insect.
Yeah, I mean, then it's right like now.
Crunch. Or chocolate covered grasshoppers.
I'm not doing this. I'd be in my head and I'd feel the crispiness going down my throat and then I'd start dry heaving and then I would throw up.
The gross thing.
Oh, it's so bad. I dry heave at everything.
It's smells, worth it to textures. Like to just try a thing just once.
So, Kevin, move us to a new topic. Kevin Spry asks, if you knew your child was going to be a professional level athlete,
I do.
What would you name them?
So I tried to convince my wife to name my first child Etuan Skull Crusher Henry.
And no, this is a bad idea.
You know what? Like you would expect that even if she didn't like the idea that she would at least debate it with me.
Yeah.
Right. But that was
I can tell you what I almost did. I thought so. I like athletes that have real succinct kind of tough names. And there was a name that I wanted to do. So my middle name is Christopher. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to name my son Sir Christopher Dowd.
No, you did.
Sir.
Yes, like, I did.
Sir is the first
Sir,
name.
Sir Christopher Dowd. I was like, that's badass.
You think that sounds tough? Is that what you're getting at?
I think it sounds like, and I mean, he would be tall, of course, because look at his dad. And sure. he'd be a great athlete because look at his dad.
Sure.
Sounds like a Scottish lord or something.
Yeah.
On that note, though, like
it does kind of sound
Purdue's,
like a wasp.
With Purdue's opponent coming up, Admiral Schofield is a pretty solid
name. That's a pretty strong
great name.
That's a pretty great. Strong name.
That's the thing. He's got like 10 points built in every time he plays because his name matters.
Yeah. I mean, because he's 6'6", 240.
Exactly.
Good Lord. Can't
help but think about people like that. Like, what if he did go into the Navy?
Admiral. No.
And, well, I mean, if he weren't, then it'd be really confusing. Like people say,
and he'd be like, he'd be like Captain Admiral. And right. It just doesn't work.
It's like, God dang it. This is, thanks a lot, Mom. There was, who was, oh, God, Shamgod.
That's an amazing name.
That's a great and such a good name that a move was named after him.
Yes, yes. I saw that. That's still being referenced. That move is still being referenced on Instagram. Like
the
right
Shamgod. Oh yeah.
Yes,
yeah. It's a great crazy. Move.
It's the move.
Yeah. It's crossover. Kind of I love it.
Spin and across, right?
The knee. It's a, you bring it across one hand and then bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
you you do that routine. You basically carry the ball. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not if you're good at it.
Okay. Tape to see if he actually traveled or not. take more fun out of a game of basketball.
How about you, Jay? What would you name your
Beirut's Yakubi?
That's a great name.
That was such a great,
name.
I wish he had gotten more.
I know. I wish he'd gotten into the starting lineup, right?
Heard people screw it up, and it would have been so great.
It is a tremendous name. So, yeah, it's a good one.
I think we're going to wrap things here because we're running. We actually have other questions, but we're over an hour here. But we have let's just wrap us up with a couple of actual, you know, Purdue-related questions. Zachary Welch asks, I'll kind of ask these together.
Any questions about human feces?
I think we covered that.
Okay.
Zachary Welch asks, does that game finally shut up the fire, Painter crowd? And I'll also ask this one related. Nick Bertram says, do you think with a good chance to finally break through? Because those feel related to me.
I got to tell you, is there much of a fire Painter crowd, or is that just kind of a boogeyman?
I don't think it really exists. I think the fire Painter crowd is actually the if Painter leaves, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world crowd.
Right.
I just don't see many people calling for him to be fired.
Let me ask you guys a question. Should Bobinski proactively offered him many monies this week?
No.
Yeah.
Excellent. No, yes.
He's not. I don't think he's you. First of all, I don't think Matt Painter wants.
He's getting offered a job, guys. It's going to happen. You said that, Jay. I agree. I think it may not be the best offer, but he's going to get offered a job. There are decent jobs out there. They're going to be out west. He's going to get offered one of those jobs out west. I just feel like it's gonna
happen. Yeah, I think he will get offered a job. I think
you pay him. I think you pay him. John Beilein makes three.
Pay him what the market? Yes, exactly. Pay him three and a half.
He's not John Beilein. I don't understand that kind of comment. I mean, I
get. He needs to get paid more than Archie Miller. That's my whole thing.
That's fine.
He's under 2.5 right now.
Yeah.
He's a bargain.
He is worth more.
Yeah.
So pay him a little bit more.
Can Purdue break through this year? Yes. Yeah. Breaking through is getting past the 16. Yes. Yes. They can break through. Do I think they're going to break through? No, but it worked. It worked last round, so I'm going to stick with it. Yeah, I'm a horrible fan, but guess what? I'm going to put a lot of money into this, and I'm going to go to the game. And if they win, I'm going to be vomiting on myself. If they lose, though, I'm going to be very sad. But I'm going to have a good talk with my son on the way home and say, hey, this is what life is. Disappointment. Lots of
life as a Purdue fan. He knows that, though. He knows that.
Yeah, he does.
Now, wait a minute. I got a question for you. So you're going Thursday. Mm-hmm. If they were to win, hypothetically, would mm-hmm. you go back Saturday?
Yes, because I would have the session ticket. I got the session ticket. That's why I'm
going. Both days?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah. So it's because of that. It's a three-game ticket. It's just like when you buy them. I wouldn't buy them bootleg like you do in New York. You know, if some
to answer the question, they can. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard. But
here's the thing: they can. This level and all the games are hard unless you're Virginia and your opponent is Oregon or.
Yeah, I think it's Oregon. Right? Oregon was up
there. They got to beat Oklahoma, then they got to beat – or, yeah, maybe they're playing them as we record this. But they got to beat Oklahoma, and then they got to beat Oregon or UC Irvine to go to this.
What a route.
Oh, I did get another question that just for fun, we might Nathan Hartman says, what is Jay Money's favorite airline drink order? And roughly how many would he have on a purely hypothetical flight to Minneapolis? From New York.
That's a what? 2.5 hour flight?
So the answer, this is an easy one, actually, because I fly United, and United a couple of years ago started carrying Buffalo Trace as their go-to bourbon, which is like, that is phenomenal. That's your on the cart bourbon and your free bourbon when you're getting a free drink. And how many would I have on a flight there? Well, if I'm coming there, first of all, coming to Minnesota would be depressing. But if I was coming for the Final Four, I'm assuming
a moose horn.
Minneapolis is a great city. So if you're flying into MSP.
But they're going to have to turn the ground for another, what, 2 or 3 months in Minneapolis this time?
I love how people always do that thing where they're like, Minneapolis is actually a great city. You just can't go outside for 7 months, but it's a wonderful city. And the
at this time in the year, it's fine. It's like the January
time. It's a big mall. ice fishing. The Super Bowl's been there. There's so many things.
By the way, about
the Upper Midwest,
the bourbon that Delta has is Woodford.
No way. Do they really? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I've had Woodford on Delta. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've got Bombay Sapphire gin, and I get gin and tonics on my flights too. So that's
fancy.
Like, honestly, I get white wine because I'm that kind of person, but like they do have Woodford.
Could I get white wine and ice water? Thank you. Please and thank you.
I get like a Coke and then like a white wine. I don't, I need a glass.
Could I get a Sprite, a diet Sprite and a white wine, please?
Like knocking back two bourbons on a flight feels like you're that kind of person.
No, hold on. Like, what kind of person is that?
What's that kind of person? It sounds like I'm that kind of person.
Person with good taste?
Yeah.
I once got on a 6 a.m. flight and this dude ordered a double gin and tonic.
That's different.
Because it's a good way to, it's got the juniper berries. It's like having a fruit juice.
It is. It is. You're right.
Can I get a prediction from both of you guys?
Purdue wins 70-65.
Whoa. I love you.
I looked at that bracket and I thought Purdue can beat any of these teams.
Yes, that's true. I completely agree with that. I completely
And if they had been in a bracket with like North Carolina or Duke, I saw Tennessee and Virginia and thought, all right, Purdue's got a shot.
If it's going to happen.
Are you saying Purdue's not as good as Central Florida? Is that why when I read between the lines? Because Central Florida absolutely had Duke. So you're saying Central Florida's better? Is that what you're saying?
Duke.
We'll never know. Never know. UCF is on the other side of the bracket, and they got knocked out. So it doesn't matter.
That's what I was like. I was like, oh, they're going to win. Central Florida's going to win, and Purdue's going to play. It's going to be Harms versus Fall in the national championship. The matchup everyone came to see.
He's 7'6". That's so tall.
Yeah, he's so tall. So tall.
Good Lord.
So what's your prediction? You're going to be there in person. Yeah, you.
I say they lose and I cry on the way home and hopefully I get some money back when I sell my ticket. Don't punch a Duke fan in the face or a Virginia fan. Who would I be selling it to? Tennessee. I probably will sell it to a Duke fan somehow.
We sold ours to Duke fans in Houston.
Exactly. That just seems like that'd be the right thing to do. But I think Purdue will lose a last second shot. It'll look like they have won. There'll be a review somehow.
The
basket will be waved off, and then it'll be counted. So I'll be celebrating and crying somehow at the same time.
I'm experiencing that like right now. Like as you describe it, it's feeling the feeling.
You can see it. That's the problem. You can imagine it. Well, yeah, and Tennessee fans, they're pretty reasonable people, so you'll get along. That'd be good. I want to see that matchup. That's what I want to see. You and orange-clad checkerboard people.
Gosh. I'm a little worried that we're not there to help him.
I
think it's fair. Just worry for my son. I'll be fine if I die. Just how did he get home?
Just you and your boy, or is the whole family coming?
No, I'm meeting a good friend of the site. Just FYI, Jay. He texted me and said, "Where are my BS Northeasterners at? I want to meet up with somebody." And I said, "Oh, they're in Key West right now." Of course, in the Jay Money South home.
Look, I looked at that when we planned this trip, and I was like, "Oh, first round games in Hartford. That is absolutely where
Purdue." You did. You talked about this.
I was like, "That's where they'll be sent," and they were.
What do you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though: the first and second round games are not terribly
not the ones you want to go to.
Energetic environments.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
I went to the Baby Blowers freshman year game in DC and there were like 50 people there. It was not
it was big. Was it where the
Yeah, that's where the Caps play. Yeah it was the Verizon Center.
That's not that big. When you consider that they play these games in stadiums now.
Well it's so good that they're not doing that to the Final Four anymore. That's so good.
By the way, that ticket was $250.
Well, this has been lovely. Do I have to give a prediction?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Go for it.
I said to Ryan, I will be astonished if they beat Villanova. And he
agreed. We both agreed. They're going to get curb stomped by Villanova.
And then they destroyed Villanova. So now – I feel like that swings the pendulum back to my I will get back to the overconfident. Like if they showed that they can, as we keep saying, like Michael, you said you looked at that bracket and you were like, they could beat anybody there. Mm-hmm. And I think that they just proved that this weekend. I think they proved that they could beat anybody. They have the, and right now their comfort level, their confidence is in such a place where, yes, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Purdue gets Matt Painter through his ceiling to the Elite Eight.
Okay. How about this question? Let me ask you, there was one question, I think I saw it, because it was like one of the first questions someone asked. Who's the other player other than Carson and Klein? Who's the guy that gets them through if they do break that ceiling?
Other than Carson and Klein?
Yeah.
Harms.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah. I mean,
he's just a different player. They're a different team when he scores 12 to 15.
He had 18 last night. He had perhaps his best game at Purdue.
Eight of those points were easy.
Freebies.
Dunks.
Right. Freebies. I like that he's dunking more. I like that he's not laying the ball in. He's dunking the ball. Just
guaranteed. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
That's Brandon Brantley's. That's what he teaches guys. Be strong with the ball. Just go over, you know, yam, you know. Here, I'll give you a real quick question, real quick scenario. You have two choices. Either one can potentially win the game. Purdue, one choice is Purdue has the ball. They're down by two. Carson has the ball in his hands. That's one scenario. Okay. The other scenario is down by one, two shots, Travion Williams on the line.
That's actually a really good question.
Yeah.
And I think I go with Travion in that.
Not quite confident in Carson yet, are you?
Wait, hold on. Is this a one and one or is it two shots?
It's two shots. It's two shots.
Down one. You're hoping he makes. I don't know, man. He looked shaky from the line yesterday.
I've watched a lot of. This is one thing on these near miss great games that we've seen in the tournament so far. I've seen a lot of there where you're like, okay, like that one game where the guy gave up the layup to swing it out to the three. I can't remember who that was. And so the dude got fouled three shots. They were up, they were down by two. He was a good free throw shooter, and dude misses the first three free throw. You're like, oh!
Ball don't lie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're like, you have the perfect situation.
That's a tough one. That's really tough. I thought you were going to say the other scenario was Purdue's up one and playing defense.
I would take the up one and playing defense over.
Oh, absolutely. This defense, I have more confidence in them than anything else. So,
really? That's that easy for you. See, because anything beats you in that scenario, though. So...
Right, right. I still would like that. I mean, we've seen this defense made it really difficult on teams. You know, yes. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Defense off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Travion Williams is a 50% free throw shooter, which is terrible. But if he's got two shots, on average, he makes one. Game's tied. You know.
And then Purdue's golden in overtime in a round of 16 game versus the top three team in America. With a bunch of seniors on the team.
You know, at the same time, if Purdue is down two, the ball needs to be in Carson's hand.
Oh, yeah.
I trust absolutely no qualms about that. And if they lose in that scenario, I'm fine with it because that's the guy who needed to have the ball.
That's it. That's it. That's the scenario right there. Is we've already seen Carson play a fantastic game. I just want to see Purdue play its best basketball for one to two more games. And if they get beaten by Tennessee, it takes a better shot at them, so be it, right? I just don't want to be saying, oh, man, if only Klein wouldn't have gone one for 11 again, that type of thing, right? I don't want to see
like the Kansas game again, right?
Right, like, where you're just like, what?
Like, who is this team?
Yes.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, you want. I think we all want to see him take a shot.
I actually feel more confident than I think I have about a Purdue team in a while. That's not going to happen. You're going to see – they may lose, but you're going to see this team play. They're going to be who they are, right? They're not going to – yeah. I don't think you can expect Carson to hit nine threes again, but he's going to try.
when Dowd texted me about this podcast, he said that we're going to shoot for a focused sub-hour, and I said that it was good to have goals.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Purdue Basketball Beat.
Love you guys. Good night.
Love you guys. Good night.